Lord, this brings about a lot of different memories and which did I have. God has a way of just working everything out. Our scripture for today is coming from, I'm not sure whether you got an opportunity to read it. Our scripture is coming from Psalms, the fourth division of Psalms. Some people say chapters, but actually they're divisions, you know. So it's coming from the fourth division of Psalms. Doing my particular research, what happened is that as I looked around and there was a lot of conversation about the fourth division of Psalms. And as I sat there and I said, you know, I have to look at it for myself and be led by the Holy Spirit on how I can perceive this. And what a mighty God we serve. You know, God reveals things to us. He opens up doors that no man can close.
Amen.
And he allows us to see things to help us in this here particular journey. But before I get started, I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. And I would also like to inquire in regards, did anybody have a problem with us taping for the podcast or anything of that particular nature? Mm-hmm. Hopefully that you're receiving the podcast, you know, good, which we put out. And then we've had some fantastic reviews on them. And I just thank God that it's touching and reaching out to the people in which that we needed to do. So, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for bringing us down the highway safely. Last time we was here, Heavenly Father, there was a few individuals that wasn't here. Oh, but dear God, you allowed them to come back into the fold. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you in this room. I invite you to speak through me. Use this body. Speak through me, dear God, because without you, I can do nothing. You bring back to remembrance those things that we talked about last night, even though I brought notes and everything of that nature, because truly I did not want to miss one thing. It helped me, and I want to share it with others. So bless, anoint me, anoint my mouth, my lips, keep us, open up ears so the individuals can hear. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. As I said, the scripture is coming from Psalms, or the fourth division of Psalms, and it's a short version. I think there's maybe eight verses. What I would like to do is share the scriptures with you, elaborate, and then I'm going to look at the notes and share you what the Holy Spirit had given to me last night. Is that okay with everybody?
All right.
Is that okay with everybody?
All right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Psalms 4, and it reads as follows. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing Salah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still, Salah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. As I read this here particular division of Psalms, and I started just trying to grab anything I could to kind of enlighten me because of what's going on. You know, so what happened is it referred me back to the third division of Psalms. It referred me back. So this is the fourth, and it tells kind of directs you to say, go back to the third. Maybe that will help you grab what's going on at this particular time. This is David. David's writing. And when David was writing this, what happens is that the division of Psalms is actually a song. You know, people was actually singing these words. You know, it wasn't where they just read these words. They were actually singing these words. I'm not even going to try to put these words in a song, you know. But that's what these are. When it says Psalms, that's what it was. It was a hymn, you know. But it referred me back to the third division of Psalms. So in order to kind of give you a broader view, I would like to go back to the third division of Psalms and read that just as well. Hopefully that'll illuminate things for you. The third division of Psalms is a short song. It's only six verses. And it reads as follows. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth... Oh, no. Excuse me. That's the first one, because that sounded very familiar. But let me go back to the third. The third reads as follows. Lord, how are thy increase thy trouble me? Many are they that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Salah. But thou, O Lord, art shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Salah. I laid me down and slept. I await, for the Lord sustained me. I would not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheek, that thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon the people, Salah. Okay, now that I've read the verses and carrying on, you know, now I would like to kind of share with you my research through all of this here particular piece. What happened is that during this particular time, David was going through a tumultuous time. It was a lot of trouble, internally as well as externally. To elaborate on that, he had a son in which he loved. His first son died. You know, God said, because of what you did, because of sin, you know, oh, this son is not going to live. But he had another son, Absalom, beautiful, strong. You know, people looked at him and they looked at him. He was sculptured, you know, out of clay. You know, long, wavy hair. I mean, long hair. I mean, everybody's looking at him and said, oh, my God, this guy is special. But he had a heart of stone. He had a heart that was cold. He had a heart that turned against his father. He had a heart that when people came to want to talk to David, he would meet them at the gate and say, well, no, you can talk to me and I'll resolve it for you. Or I'll take it to my father. He was interceding. He was always trying to undermine David. It had got to a point where that he even went to, David had several concubines, you know, women in which that he had slept with, you know, but he even had got to the point where that he went to his father's concubines and tried to slander him and shame him. You know, oftentimes the devil tries to shame us. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's where I was last night. I said, oh, my God, you're opening up things. I'm seeing things, you know. Sometimes the devil tries to shame us. You know, he went and laid one of his father's concubines to try to shame him, you know, so that he couldn't lift his head up. David is going through anguish. He's going through anguish. What do you do when you got a son and which that is trying to turn himself against you and which that won't even talk to you and which that I'm trying to undermine you? Oh my God, what do you do? First of all, David is a man of war. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lord help me. I'm trying to give you the message, but sometimes it gets to you.
Right.
You know, David is a man of war. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's a man of war. He's one of these cats, man. He's slicing and he's dicing. And you got a son that's acting like this. First of all, you get angry. You get very, 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 very angry. But then, you know, David said, no, I can't do this. Even though he's acting like that, he's trying to shame me. He's listening to poor counsel, you know, and what may have you. But it's okay. Lord, help me. Give me direction. God had it where... Thank you, Holy Spirit. God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, a lot of times we get angry, we want to do things. Hold your peace.
All right.
Vengeance? Oh, God. Whew. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh, I could give you a witness on several things in my own personal life. And what's that? I had two sons, two great sons. You know, God blessed me with two wonderful. I didn't have children until I was late. I came home from Nam and carrying on, but God allowed me to have two sons, which I didn't think I was going to have any. You know, and they were right by my side, both of them carrying on. He took one home, but I still give God the glory. I got another son that stopped by yesterday, and we riding past, and you know what I'm saying? He says, Dad, Parvin Park, I don't think I ever been there. You know what I did? right then and there, I turned off and I said, well, you're going to see it today. You're going to see it today. Because guess what? We don't want to put off tomorrow what we can do today.
Right.
And we went there and he looked. He said, this is a nice park. I said, it's been here for years. Parvin State Park been here for years. You know, he said, we could even do some fishing. I said, yes, son. Yes, son. You know, but you take a moment. You seize that moment. You don't want to take nothing for granted.
Right.
But I'm looking. Let's get back to the scriptures. I'm looking at what's going on in David's life. First of all, he's angry. He's upset. He now, even to a point where he has to run from his son. In order to keep from getting into a fight with him, he has to actually have to run from his son. As I had told you, you know, I don't want to just move so fast and just deal with the emotion. You know, last night when God was doing, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, you know, I had to grab some notes because it got so good to me until I said, oh man, I don't want to lose that thought. I don't want to lose that thought. I don't want to lose that thought. So I got three or four different key points in which that I would like to share with you. Then I'm going to get on out of your way. We came here for communion. And you know what? I get excited when I talk about communion because it brings us all in one accord. You know, we're all a family of God. You know, God got special things for his people. You know, really, when I looked at that 7th and 8th verse in the 4th division of Psalms, and it says, thou have put gladness in my heart more than in thy in time that thou have corn and wine increased. You know, when God blesses you and you're a farmer and you see where your crops have produced great crops, you know, you're talking about gladness. You be saying, yeah, all the work I put in is paying off. Mm-hmm. That's like what these here kids, you know, once you done put in work and you done sowed seeds of love and you want to see a crop of these kids where they're actually running their race. You know, I want to see. The reason why I try to make sure that I'm here on a regular basis, because you're my crop. You are my crop. If I'm giving you the right nutrients, you should be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You should be able to help somebody in this journey. Only the things that we do for Christ means anything. I had told a young lady when we was coming up here, I said, you know, I get in my heart that there's an opportunity here. The last time when Mother Maxwell was here and they opened up downstairs and I said, I'm sure just like you're here, there's other individuals that need to hear about the goodness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, whether it's Baptist, Episcopal, you know, what it doesn't, you know, I'm here to just fertilize people, to help them to grow. We're going through a tumultuous time. Mm-hmm. The word of God will bring us in one accord. Mm-hmm. You hear it on every aspect. Somebody's talking in your ear. Somebody's talking in your ear. Somebody's talking in your ear. Divide and conquer. No, no, no. God's word brings people together. Mm-hmm. God's word helps to help people to grow. God's word gives us faith. God's word carries us through the rough times that we have. God's word is where that when things are happening in your family, you are mature enough to use God's word in order to give them peace. God's word brings about peace. What a mighty God we serve. Let me get back to these said notes. One of the reflections, first note I had said, a reflection of David, particularly in the concern or context of his son Absalom when he rebelled against David and caused David to flee for his life. You look at 2 Samuel right around the 15th chapter, you know, you see, if you start reading that, you'll be saying, oh my God, I can understand why David was upset. To make a decision rather than to run, Than to do something to your son, it takes a lot, especially dealing with a man you just don't know. You know, to hold your peace when folks is acting crazy, you don't know until you have experienced that. You know, it's on a different level. Okay. Another point in which that was brought out in that fourth chapter. I mean, the fourth division was talking about learning how to commune with yourself. It talked about being on the side of your bed and talking to God. Learning how to be honest with your own heart. Be still. Take a minute. Let me go back. And this is like a movie. Let me go back and create that scene again. Here's David sitting on the side of his bed, thinking about his son that he wanted so desperately, thinking about how God has given him such a beautiful child that is exteriorly perfect. But on the inside, like a rotten apple. You know, I like cars, you know. Remind me of a car that got a nice body and the engine won't run. You know, but you know, here's David sitting on the side of a bed and he's thinking about all of this. Fear, anger, grief, all of these things are going within him. What direction do you want me to go? During the stillness of the night, trying to be encouraged, but also reflecting on self-examination. That's why I love our communion says, examine yourself. Before you take communion, examine yourself. You don't want to take it and you're all steeped up in sin. Only thing you have to do is say, Lord, I didn't quite get it right this time. Forgive me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have to do that every time. Lord, forgive me, because I'm telling you, whether it's thought, word, or deed, you know, we're trying to get it right while we're here. But what a mighty God we serve. I'm hoping that you get an opportunity to look at the division of Psalms, and that is four, the third and the fourth. Okay? But let me flip over to my other side and notice that until you have dealt with something of that nature, where your children have turned against you, where you're examining yourself, what did I do wrong? Why is it acting like this? Is it me? Is it sin? And why is it like this? Let me see. I like Ezekiel the 18th chapter. No, we all are held accountable for what we do. Right. You know, your child is held accountable for what they do. We are held accountable for what we do, you know, and that's just the way it is. But David found great peace talking to God. I don't know about you, when I get down on my knees, you know, everybody do it their own way. Some people just sit up, stand, raise their hands. Some people, you know, just lay in bed and say a prayer. But for me, God has been so good to me. I have to get down on my knees. Matter of fact, sometimes I was telling my wife, I said, man, look at the spots all on my knees. And you know, there was another one like that, James, his brother, his half brother, whatever. They called him Camel Knees. You know why? He was on his knees all the time. But once you start having a relationship with God, let me tell you one thing. It humbles me. You know, you get to know exactly how blessed you are. Amen. You know? In this particular passage, one of the things, and what's the David talk about? He said, I don't understand why people can't see. Why are they acting like this? What can't they understand that how mighty God is? That God sees everything. He sees our hearts, you know, the imperfection. God knows all of that. Only thing he wants us to do is come to him, you know. But David found great peace. One of the things in which that we have to be very watchful of, and that is that systematic prayer. You know, down I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul will keep. It's almost sound like a song. Mm-hmm. What I loved about David, he was very passionate about his prayer. He was very passionate about his relationship with God. You know, he didn't mind expressing himself, Lord, I don't understand why. Help me, Lord. I need your peace in my heart. I'm crying unto you. I need you. It was almost like me when I was coming down. I was heading down the road here. And I was saying, Holy Spirit, please show up. Because if you don't show up, I can't preach. If you don't show up, I stammer over words. You know, I can't see clearly. I need you to help me. I need you to show up. Lord, look, I'm surrendering myself to you to be used by you. Amen. Last night when I was talking with God and carrying on, the wife was saying, is this TV bothering you? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't hear nothing because I'm in a zone. I'm in a zone. I just appreciate us being together. Whatever room you in, you know, hey, I want to try to go, okay, now she in here, you know. But what a mighty God we serve. David was very passionate about his word with God. Very sincere about his words with God and about his request to God. It wasn't just a cookie cutter approach. He was serious. He was passionate. And that's the way I encourage each one of us to be with prayer. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up into, you know, You know, it's real. It's a relationship. It's a sincere relationship. David couldn't talk to Absalom. What do you mean? That's his son, and he couldn't talk to Absalom. Sometimes what happens is that the devil is a deceiver. It reminded me of an accident I had one time. What happened is that I was telling the wife, I said, I was coming down the road, man, I had the top back, man, the music was blasting and carrying on, and I'm looking straight ahead, and it was almost like somebody had put a hand over my head like that, over my eyes, and then when it came down, here I am, that far from away from another car, and like, boom, I said, oh my God. I said, it was almost like I was blinded. That's the way Satan will do. He will blind you. Stay focused. Stay focused on what's going on around you. He will blind you. What is Satan's job?
Kill, steal, destroy.
That's right. Kill, steal, and destroy. See, he can't get back into heaven. And he don't want you there. He can't get back. He got thrown out. He can't. But God made a way for us to come back to the Father. You know, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He goes, no, God. Jesus just told him, I'm going to be leaving you. You know, I'm going to turn around and some of y'all won't even want to talk to me. Some of y'all is going to be denying me. You know, oh, no, no, Lord, I'll die for you. I'll die for you. Peter, be quiet, because this day before the cock throws three times, you're going to deny me. You know, everybody, you have good thoughts of doing all of these things. You know, he said, but it's okay. You know, I won't be alone. My Father will be with me. I love it. Because guess what? Oftentimes I think about individuals and what's that is going through tumultuous times, you know, and everybody's saying, well, they was alone. Well, if they knew Christ as their personal Savior, they wasn't alone. Oftentimes what happens is that I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. You know, what a mighty God we serve. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, you may be also. Somebody said, well, you know, I seen where some people, when they got ready to pass, they had their hands up like that and carrying on. Yeah, I said, yeah, God's coming for them. God's coming for them. Yeah, the other tech had to break their arm because, you know, they had the armor. Yeah, God's coming for them. And it's okay. You know, guess what? That's where you started. Jeremiah says, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, I knew you. I knew the essence. Before the seed was planted, I knew the essence of you. You know, what a mighty God we serve. I like Psalms because it talks about how God reached down and he scooped up the mountains. Or he put a furrow there so that the rivers could flow. That's who you're talking about. You're talking about God. To be able to have a relationship with God? For I can talk to God and express myself? Oh, I'm humbled. What a mighty God we serve. He couldn't talk to Absalom. Absalom didn't want to hear nothing he said. Absalom was blinded to the fact. He couldn't hear what his dad said. You know, matter of fact, his job, the thing that he had in his mind, I'm going to take over his kingdom. He don't know what he's doing anyhow. You know, he wouldn't even think about that. He's my dad. I'm taking over his kingdom. That's the bottom line. God's grace and mercy changes everything. God's grace and mercy changes everything. Here David is sitting there on the side of his bed and he's crying unto the Lord. And guess what? When God bestowed, thank you, Holy Spirit, on a daily basis, new mercies were given to us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. New day, new mercies. I blew it yesterday, but I got a chance today. Mm-hmm. What a mighty God we serve. God is the one that puts gladness in our hearts. Can you imagine going through what David went through, but yet God is able to put gladness in his heart and able to get him up and move out? Because vengeance is mine. I'll take care of him. But the sadness of it is when you love somebody and you see that they're going down the wrong path, you just say, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord, because they can't see. They're blinded right now. Have mercy, Lord. Guess what? God understands. This, you're not the only one. It reminds me, I was telling the wife on the way down here, Elijah's talking about, Lord, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knees down to Baal. I'm the only one. God said, no. I got, 250 other prophets that haven't bowed down. Don't think you're the only one. It's how we perceive things. What a mighty God we serve. In spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, God acts as a shield for us. He acts as a shield for us, even in spite of what we're going through. God shields us, but you got to believe it. Do you believe that God is able to shield? God grants peace. He said, my peace I give to you. My peace. That's God's peace. My peace. Even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the storm, you got peace. Yeah. And I'll be like, when my son had passed, and I had one of my cousins come to me because I was preaching the eulogy, and he said, I couldn't have done it. How were you? And I said, it's the spirit that is within me because I believe what I'm preaching. All these years, I believe every word of it. I believe that I'll see him again. I believe I'll see my mom again. You know, when I read 16th chapter of Luke, and it talks about the great divide, and you got the people that did not believe on one side, and you got the people that's over here in Abraham's bosom on the other side. They can see each other, but guess what? You know, they can't cross over, you know. I believe that I will see my son again. I believe that if you trust God, you know, you will see them again. You're just going back home. What a mighty God we serve. But do you believe? You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not abiding in Jesus, oftentimes, not abiding, let me put it this way. There's power in prayer. There is power in prayer. We don't take sincerely enough the power that we have in prayer. I expressed it before, to be able to talk to the Father that breathed the breath of life in you, to be able to talk to the Father that made the mountains, to be able to talk to the Father that scooped out so that you got the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Be able to talk to the Father that he knows each star by name. He knows each star by name. To be able to talk to the creator of this universe. Me. To be able to talk to the creator of this universe is humbling. And when I talk to him, or when I pray, I want my prayer to be heard. So with all sincerity, there's certain things that I have to correct. I have to make sure I'm in alignment with God. Not abiding in God's word hinders your prayer. If you want to do your thing, well, guess what? You go ahead and do your thing, because guess what? God can't hear you doing your thing if it's not following according to the commandments of God. A failure to have other things that is a vanity to God, where, say, some individuals might say, hey, you like cars or da-da-da-da. Guess what? I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm not. Guess what? It's about me and my alcohol. It's about me and my drugs. You know, so that comes before anything. I can't see anything but my drugs. I can't see anything but my alcohol, my marijuana. You know, that comes first before anything. You know, so guess what? That's your God. You know, you got to make a choice. That blocks you from actually God hearing your prayer. We have to make sure that God is foremost. You know, I had shared with my wife yesterday. I said, you know, you've been a blessing in my life. You've illuminated in my life, but you don't replace God. You know, I love you, but God is always first in my life. I remember one time when we was up at Mother Maxwell's house, and my granddaughter was there, and she's getting all fidgety and carrying on, and my aunt said, well, let's sit down and let's stop. Hold on. I said, no. Nothing comes before the word of God. I don't care who it is. The devil will use any of us. Wait a minute, hold it. That's just like Job's wife. What did Job's wife say? You might as well curse God and die. You know, guess what? The devil will try to use anybody. Hey, guess what? Here's another one. When
Satan, he comes and he's up there in the garden and he's trying to challenge everybody. And he said, hey, didn't God say that you ain't supposed to do this? You know, oftentimes we want to be inclusive. Before Adam got ready to say anything, you know what he said? Oh, no, 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 he didn't say that. You know, we want to be inclusive. We want people to know that I know something too. I know something, you know. Yeah, but God has an order about everything. You know, speaking of that and that in relationship, one of the things in which that will hinder your prayer from being heard, and that is if you're married and you and your wife is going at each other. You know, because marriage is an example of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, and God wants us to be in one accord. Mm-hmm. You know, so her concern is about me and my concern is about her. You know, that's what marriage is all about, you know. But if we're going at each other, God can't hear our prayers. He can't hear us. Lying and being deceitful, saying one thing and you mean another. God can't hear your prayers. God can't hear your prayers. So I encourage individuals. Now, we done read the division of Psalms 3 and 4 and what a mighty God we serve. I encourage you to continue on with a personal relationship that you have with the Father. God already knows. He knows what you have need of even before you asked. Not only that, He has given us the Holy Spirit that even when we're asking, sometimes we babble. We don't quite know how to put it out. We don't know how to express itself. And you got the Holy Spirit, that's an interpreter force. That's interpreting what's in our hearts. You know, man looks out there at appearance. You know what God looks at? The heart. Oftentimes it reminded me of individuals say, Lord, I did this for you. I did this for you. I did this for you. You know, what do you think about me now? You know, and God is sitting around here saying, well, you did this here because you got paid. You did this here because the money was good. You did this here just to show an outside sign to the world. That's what you had in the Bible. You look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yes.
They said they got out there and they got these playing, these long, elaborate prayers. And then God says, but you didn't pray to me. How about the widow with the mite? And she gave all she had. God wants us to be truthful. God wants us to be sincere. There is a relationship with the Father that brings about a peace that surpasses all understanding. And as we journey through this land, as we find peace in our hearts, there's other people that God's going to bring across your path that's struggling. Tell somebody. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody. Help somebody. Tell somebody that you don't have to be broken down, walking around with your head all down. That you can lift yourself up through Christ Jesus to read the Word. Even if you don't know everything, but guess what? Read the Word. Yes. The Word is a living organism. The Word has life within itself. The Word is like fertilizer. It helps you to grow. Somebody said, well, I don't like to read the Word because it makes me feel guilty. Well, it's not to make you feel guilty. It's supposed to make you better. You know, there's certain things and what's that you're not supposed to do. But it makes you better. What a mighty God we serve. So I encourage you to run your race. Run strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What a mighty God we serve. And I thank God for the relationship, for the fellowship that me and him had last night. And I try to share it with you all today. And hopefully something that I have said has been revealed to you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Wife, can you help me out with a song?
Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that the word goes forward unhindered, unchecked, with excellence, accuracy, and boldness for your glory.
Let me help you up.
Oh, okay. Thank you. God, we thank you. I glorify you, Lord. What manner of love is this that you would lay down your life, a sacrifice for redemption? Yes, you did. Now I am encouraged to know Christ and Him crucified. Now the power from you in me, blameless. You call me holy. I am forgiven. You call me righteous. I'm free. Spotless. You call me worthy. I am your child. You call me chosen. I'm yours. I will always run to the one who sings songs of redemption over me. No one can take this from me. No, no, no. I'm a child that you name free. Nothing will separate us. I'm held by you. And I know, blameless. You call me holy. I am forgiven. You call me righteous, I'm free. Spotless, you call me worthy. I am your child, you call me chosen, I'm yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. God. Oftentimes when we get ready together, we take communion. I'm going to give you a few minutes. And that is what I had mentioned before. And that is that, you know, it's okay to put yourself in check, you know. As I prepare to pray, you know, a lot of people use these sacraments for so many different things, you know, but we're going to ask God to change it from a carnal use to a spiritual use. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, first of all, I want to thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit visiting here today. I could feel it in me. Father, I thank you for the word.
Yes.
Dear God, now that we prepare to take communion, I ask you, dear God, to bless this communion. Dear God, change it from a carnal use to a spiritual use. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Bless those that partake of this communion. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. We realize that it talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we humbly submit to prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Take one myself. Mm-hmm. To God be the glory.
Thank you.
As often as we do this, just shows remembrance of the Lord's death until he comes. Because he's coming back for his church.
Amen.
He's coming back for his church. And you want to be a part of that. You don't want to be left behind. You know, what a mighty God we serve.
Okay.
Well, excellent. 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 Okay, there's a wafer on the top. If you look at the other side. Yeah, there's a...
I didn't get the other stuff.
Yeah, it should be right there where you open it up. Yeah, there you go. Right there where you open it up at in the front. Yeah, right there. Right there. You see how it peels back up? There's a little plastic lip there. Yep, there you go. There's your wafer. Okay, praise God. There you go. Amen. Amen. How's everybody? Everybody good?
All right.
Okay.
Got it, Barb?
Okay.
Okay, great.
Amen. Amen. How about you? Okay, you good, wife?
Not quite. Hold on 1 second. Just don't want to spill that.
Well, if you got to get another one, don't worry about it. Get another one.
Got it.
Okay, praise God. Praise God.
Okay.
Okay. Bread symbolizes his body that was hung up for our hang-ups. Shall we eat at this time? Followed by the cup. Cup represents the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Shall we drink? Amen. And Helen, you got this?
Yeah, I got it. It's coming.
Take your time. Take your time. Take your time. Don't get on those white pants. Amen. 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 Amen.
I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
He hung his head and died.
Yes, he hung his head and died.
Well,
he hung his head and died for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
But church, he's coming back again. Before I get ready to leave, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity. Do you have anything? Spirit has said to me earlier, you know, personal testimony. Do you have a personal testimony? Anybody want to share?
I do. I always do. On what you're speaking about, I just wanted to share that something happened. My daughter, I have difficulty sharing without getting upset. My daughter said something to me, and I never thought that I'd feel like this. She said something to me that was like sticking a sword in my heart. I do not ever want to speak to her again. I hope that she never calls me. And at the same time, she's saying, tomorrow I'll pick you up for the movies. And I can never bring myself to yell at them. And I just said, oh yeah, sure. And I thought, I hate her. I don't ever want to speak to her again. And she hung up. And there's this religious program that I always listen to. And I'm going to show you how fast the devil works. I went to put the religious program on, and I heard, don't put that on. And I could hear this voice saying, this other part of me says, why not? And I thought, what the hell with you? I'm putting the religious program on. And as I'm listening to the program, I can hear God talking to me.
Yes.
And he says, it's not you. You don't have a problem. Your daughter is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know you love her. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame her for hurting. She hurts inside.
Yes.
You gotta help her, not be mad at her.
Yes.
And I was like, all the anger just went right out of me. And I thought, I can't believe that devil was like saying, don't turn on that religious program.
Yeah.
And I thought, he always talks to me. Yeah. I mean, as much as God talks to me,
yes.
the devil always yes. talks to me too. I thought,
yes.
wow. But that's one thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was my great-granddaughter yesterday says to me, she always talks, and I never know what the heck she's saying. And she said, I just want to tell you this, Gigi. Jesus, 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 give me all good thoughts. And I was like, oh, I love that. Where'd that come from?
That surprised you.
And I was like, where'd that come from? And she said, my mom said that to me. I said, oh, she said, do you like that? I said, gee, she loves that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, make sure you say that all the time.
Yes.
And I could hear my daughter go, I only said that to her one time. I can't believe she remembered it. And I said, well, I love it.
Yes.
And I was so touched because I never know what she's saying.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I heard that clear as anything. And I was so thrilled.
Yes.
And the other thing in our church, we have feast days, and this week is the feast days of the Garden Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can share this with you, it's like hard for me to say things like this. Like this one time I was on this very big bridge, and you couldn't see either side of it. It was so big. And I'm telling you, the guy looked just like you. But I was there all the time. I was going to kill myself. I have a lot of trouble with suicide. And I was about to step over. And then I felt this touch on my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and I turned around, and it was a black man in a long trench coat, and I swear he looked just like you. And he said, not now, Ann. And wow. I looked back at the water, and I looked back, and he was gone,
mm-hmm.
and nobody was on the bridge,
yeah.
and I was like, and all my head said was, well, what do you want me to do now, Lord? What is on your mind?
Yeah.
And I just walked off the bridge saying, okay, what is it you want me to do? And I just like the whole thought of suicide just went out. But I kept saying to myself, where the hell did that guy go? And I was like, I said, it must, all my thought was like, it must have been an angel.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought, God sent me an angel.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because the instructions in what should I had give you today, tell somebody.
Yeah.
Tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus.
Yeah.
Those are the instructions and what that God is telling us. Tell somebody. You're here for a reason. You don't know. God didn't give you the gift of everlasting life for no reason at all. You know? There's other people that need to be set free.
You don't know how many times God has saved my life. Like, I said to the doctor, I told you about this one time. I was on a tower, a big high tower, and just somebody had just dared me to jump off it. And my kids were saying to me, "Why, you didn't do that." I said, "Yeah, actually, I did." But I said to my kids, I jumped and I landed on a 6-inch thing. Mm. And I was like, "Oh, well, that was something." And I told my psychiatrist, he said, "Ann, do you know, like, your entire life you've been trying to kill yourself? And, like, you know how many times that God has saved you?"
Yes,
I said, "Oh," I said, "I wasn't thinking of it."
Thank
like
God.
That.
Praise God. We give God all the praise. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as prayer, is there anybody in which that, you want to call out names? If we call out names, we'll put the names here and before right. us in this
Tommy
circle.
Tommy Thompson.
But I just tell you, like, one other thing. I don't know, because I don't know. I'll never run into a priest. If you could. Just
go ahead.
Do this for me. I don't know who else to ask. But my psychiatrist was so wonderful. She actually came from Africa and to the Bahamas and to the United States. She said, "What you need," she was so wonderful to me. She said, "What you need is somebody to put their hands on you and bless you."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because, like,
oh, he'll put your hands on you.
I'm physically very in bad shape. It's not the physicalness I yes. want you to save. It's the mentalness.
Yes.
If she said somebody just needs to yes. bless you and save you.
Okay.
She said, "I don't know if you could do it for me." Yes. You know,
okay.
if you could help me.
Okay.
So she said somebody needs to bless you.
Amen.
So
okay.
it's been a long time since I've been blessed, but you know
Amen.
I didn't know who else to ask
right.
but you.
No.
Just right. like she was saying about her daughter or son or whatever. My husband passed a year ago.
Yes.
And the funeral was October the 3rd. And ever since then, my daughter, which I love dearly, my youngest daughter, only daughter, and it's like overnight she turned to hate.
I pray for it every day.
And I don't understand why, but I have a son that is excellent. But he's saying to me, "Mom, it's not your fault. We don't know what the problem is. You've asked her, you whatever, but it's not clearing out." And I thought I had got over all this, but as the year come on, it's like it just happened yesterday. And I pray that God take it or whatever. And I'm just, it just, when she said that, it just made me bring back that. And I just, you know, I just don't understand. And in my mind, my daughter is in China. And she lives right in Woodbury. But she's in China, and I figure when she do come back to America, she'll call me. So
I know it sounds terrible. All the people that their children won't talk to them. My son, his daughter won't.
But everybody's family has it.
I said, "You just tell your daughter that you're sorry." He said, "For what, Mom?" I said, "Doesn't matter. Just tell."
I don't say that.
Just say you're sorry for whatever they think you did.
Right. But,
you know, even though you don't understand. I keep telling my kids, "I'm so sorry. I don't know what the hell I did, but I'm so sorry."
Right. So, but
I just told God knows. I just told my second daughter yesterday, we all say and do things that we don't mean or don't mean to say, you know, because I'm forever talking and I know I'm always saying stuff I don't mean.
Yeah.
Keep in mind one thing, and that is that it's just the scriptures being fulfilled.
Okay.
You know, during the latter times, you know, he said, "I didn't come to bring peace." He gives us peace. God gives a personal peace. But what happens is that these are tumultuous times, you know. It's about what you believe. You know, the devil is working. Let me tell you one thing. That's why I'm trying so hard to get you to grab hold to God during these times. This scripture that God gave me today, it wasn't for no reason at all. I mean, this came out of the clear blue sky. You know, God knows what we have need of. He's the one that gave me this here word to give to you.
Yeah.
God knows what we have in need of. And this is a good example on how to deal with situations of this nature. Can you imagine David said, now, you have somebody that may not want to talk to you. Absalom was trying to kill him. He was trying to kill his father. He was trying to turn the whole kingdom against his father. God has given us an example on how to deal with a situation in that.
My daughter, if I hadn't got sick and become an alcoholic, I wouldn't have saved her life from drugs and alcohol. She was so lost. And because of God, I saved her life. And now she says, you were never there for nobody ever helped me. I'm like, what is she talking about?
Yeah. Well, but that's perceived in her mind.
Yes.
It is perceived in their mind. It is so easy.
But I don't want to say that to her. I won't hurt anybody with my words.
Yes. Well, you may not. Because guess what? You have come to a point. You just didn't just get here.
Yes.
There's been times when I listened to different testimonies of individuals, and there's been times in which the things that did come out of your mouth wasn't godly. But God allowed you a time of escape. It reminded me of something in which that I had read where God blocked the devil long enough for you to make a conscious decision on whether you want to accept him or reject him. And you took it. He said, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Let me come in. Let me come in. Let me come in. Some people never open up the door. But it's because of the choices that we make. You know, what a mighty God we serve. And I'm listening to the testimony and I'm glad that I was led by the Holy Spirit just to open up the floor. You know, because as we have that personal testimony, you think you're the only one that's going through something? Oh, my God.
I know. I talk to people every day that are suffering.
Oh, they're going.
And I feel lucky because God's always there for me.
At least you have God in your heart. You know, you have God in your heart. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
I think I'm supposed to be like this.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. And that is that if you read the scriptures, you'll see how Absalom ended up. It was horrific. If you read the scriptures, you see how Absalom ended up. And then it threw David into another turmoil because he's thinking about how his son died. God is not playing. We only have so much time to run this race. We're on a journey. We think that we got forever, forever, forever. And the sad part about it, Satan will deceive you to believing that you got forever. But we don't. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. You know? So, I'm encouraging each one.
Isn't there some place that says that you have to accept yourself like you are?
Well, what I would prefer to say, and that is that you have to regulate your mind. Grab hold of your mind.
Yeah.
You know? Because what happens is your mind is all over the place.
Yes.
You know, your mind is all, well, how about this and how about that? And I did that. No. Grab hold to your mind and conform it to the word. Conform that mind to the words of God. We have to go there because what happens is if not, your mind is going to have you all over the place. You're going to be thinking about anything, this, that. But guess what? God is there. God is right by your side. Ain't nothing that any of us go through that God don't know. He knows about it. He already knows about it. When you call in the middle of the night and you're emphatically and you're saying, Lord, help me, please. Handle this, Lord. Fix it, Lord. God already knows. You know, that's why when they was in Solomon and Gomorrah, guess what? You had people that was praying. God dispatched angels and said, go down there and see what's going on. Go down there and see what's going on. You know, so guess what?
I thank him for everything. I was in the truck last night with my daughter. I was absolutely freezing. I said, oh God, I am freezing. And my daughter comes out. She said, oh, here's a sweater I left. She said, hold that. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. I just wanted something to cover my legs.
Yes,
and that fancy gave it to me.
Yes. Well, we're going to pray.
Right.
We're going to pray. And, you know, I also would like to personally, if anyone would like a special anointment.
Let me see. Lord have mercy.
I usually carry my anointing oil.
Oh,
and if we have our anointing oil, but if not, you know, and I'm going to believe that we do, you know. But it's okay, right?
I feel bad to ask you to do something special for me.
I believe that you do.
I don't know why I asked you that today.
That's what God will do.
Woo. I don't know why I answered that today. I feel bad to answer you something special for me.
No, don't feel bad. Please don't feel bad.
I just, that girl, that particular doctor, she just, like, was so special to me. She just said, you believe like I believe. You need somebody to anoint you. She just said. Yes.
Okay, now, this oil. You want to explain this oil?
Well, actually, that is anointed oil. Often it's used in Bible olive oil, so it does not have, it's not the frankincense that I normally use. This is what was in my purse.
Yeah, olive oil. Correct.
Yeah, but it has been blessed.
Yes, yeah.
You want a glove or something?
Huh?
Do you want a glove? Okay.
Now, you had asked for a special anointing, and with that, we're going to say, Lord, bless this oil. This oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. This oil, it just symbolizes, just like we have communion, it symbolizes that the Holy Spirit is in front of us, that you're being touched by the Holy Spirit. It's just in a sample, but you have it in your heart, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And you had asked for a special anointment. In the name of Christ Jesus, we ask you, dear God, to bless, to anoint. Just go before Anne. Just guide her footsteps. Guide her heart. Oh, dear God, we're going to confine that spirit that is within her. Oh, devil, you have no dominion. We tell you right now, cease in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we got all power. He said, greater things will you do, because I go to my Father. And I'm going to intercede in your behalf. In the name of Jesus, not me, but the Holy Spirit, as he anoints you and goes before you and be your banner, your buckler, and your shield. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all the things that you do. And I realize that my loving aunt, dear God, some of the things that you go through in our heart is aching. Oh, dear God, in the name of Jesus, fix it. Fix it right now in the name of Jesus, dear God. Peace. Be still.
Yes.
Devil, you have no dominion over her or her family.
Yes.
Cease right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Cease Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We give you all authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we call upon you one more time. Dear God, you're a mighty God. Dear God, you know each one of our hearts, souls, and minds. You're going before me, dear God. I thank you for the visitation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Bless this young lady right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Give her guidance, dear God. Give her a positive decision, dear God. Let her wake up. Dear God. Bless her health.
Yes.
Bless her health, dear God. Anything that's bothering her back, her legs, dear God, fix it right now in the name of Jesus. You are a restorer, dear God. And thank you for the restoration of our mind, our body, and our soul. And I humbly submit this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Joanne.
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 Joanne. Did you want to did you want the anointing oil?
Oh, yes. She could use it.
Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you for Joanne, dear God. Yes. I had called her Ann, but I know it was Ann there, but Joanne, dear God. And we missed her last week. So bless her mind, her body, her soul. We thank you, dear God, that for keeping her, that we're here to fellowship one with another, dear God. Go before us. Be our banner, our buckler, our shield, dear God. Keep us in perfect peace. Anoint our household. Anoint her steps. Anoint her mouth. Anoint her ears, dear God. Just bless. Anoint. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, this young lady met us at the door, dear God.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. This young lady met us at the door. Welcome us in, dear God. You had told me, dear God, in your word, that as a preacher, wherever you go in and you're welcome, dear Heavenly Father, take your blessings and share them with those individuals.
Yes.
And if they don't welcome you in, take your blessings with you. Oh, dear God, I'm leaving my blessings here to this day, dear God. Bless her right now in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
As she used those arms to open up the doors, bless her right now in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
As she used those legs, dear God, to walk, to open up the doors, bless her right now in the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Yes.
If there's financial need, give it to her.
Yes.
If there's spiritual need, give it to her.
Hallelujah.
Dear God, we ask you, dear God, just to bless. Go before us. And we humbly submit the prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Right.
I know
thank you so
it
much.
Was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
Hung his head and died.
hung his head and died.
Well, he hung his head and died
for me.
Well, one day when I was born, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. What I love, he's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. Well, he's coming back again for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
Thank you, Jesus. As my six-year-old says, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, dear God, we thank you. We thank you for the visitation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We thank you for going before us, dear God. We thank you, dear God. We just give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory.
Yes.
Thompson was mentioned, dear God. Family members was mentioned, dear God.
Yes.
Cover us, dear God. Be our shield, our buckler, and our shield, dear God. Be our provider. Be our keeper, dear God. Just go before us, each one of us, individually and collectively.
Yes.
We're going to leave each other. But we never leave your presence. And we just thank you, dear God, for always going before us. And we humbly submit this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know why my six-year-old says that, but every time we say